I just want to tag on to what Carrie mentioned in congregational prayer time about the importance of the ministry that we have the opportunity to be a part of with the Fresh Start. We received, after we had hosted that for the first 2 weeks last year, we received a letter from one of the gentlemen that was there. And if you were there and you had time to go and sit and have snacks with these individuals, with the people that were staying in our church overnight, you probably met Randy. And Randy was a guy that had just fallen some bad luck. He had made some bad decisions in his life, and he'd be the first to tell you that. But more recently, lost a job, that kind of stuff. During his time here, he had found, just before he came here, he had found a job that wasn't quite earning him enough money to get out on his own. While he was here, he found another job and also found a place to move into, and wasn't with us the last 3 nights because he had then moved into his own place. We received a thank you note from him a couple weeks after, just saying how much he appreciated us opening the doors and how much he was encouraged through the conversations with you guys, with us as a church. So this ministry, it's not a small thing. It's a huge thing. And we just really encourage you next week when they're out in the lobby signing up, sign up fast, because I hope that it's going to fill up really quick. So we want to make sure that you're a part of it. So sign up fast for those slots. And even if the slots are full, still come and hang out with them and talk with the people that are staying overnight, and just get to know them and bless them and be a part of their journey in life. Okay, that's not my message today. Just a little extra plug. We're starting 2019, and oftentimes in our lives when we come to this switch over from December 31st to January 1st, we talk about making resolutions or commitments for this next year. And so often, within the first couple weeks after that moment of optimism in January 1st, within a couple weeks, we've kind of messed up in that journey of actually reaching those commitments. And this morning I want us to talk about, because I do think that making commitments is an important thing in our lives, I want us to talk about some important commitments that we see in Scripture. And if you decide to make a commitment today to one of the things that we're talking about, even if we mess it up, even if in 2 weeks from now we mess up the commitment that we just made today, the good news is God is there and wants us to start again and again and again and again and again. So I know sometimes people say, well, I don't do the New Year's resolution thing because I can never make it all the way through the year. Don't worry about that. Worry about making it through today with whatever commitments you make. And then tomorrow, worry about making it through tomorrow. And just one step at a time is my encouragement to you. Now, this morning, if you were coming hoping that we would start the new year with kind of a feel-good message, you might want to head to the bathroom for the next half hour or so, because I really honestly think that if we're looking at our own lives, that the three commitments that we're talking about are going to be something that we need to take action on as individuals. So entertain me for a bit if you choose to stay, and just listen and let's look in God's Word and see what it is that He might be speaking to us. And just so you're aware, at the end of the service, I'm going to give opportunity for us to respond, because I sensed as preparing for this week that God was saying that this is something that so many people need to work through and need to commit to and need to make steps of faith, that with my help, with God's help, that we can actually commit to these things and succeed at committing to these things. So the first commitment that I want us to look at this morning is commit to forget your failures. Commit to forget your failures. I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. If you're using one of the church Bibles, it's page 832. I think this is a really important one for us to start with this morning. There are too many times where in conversations with people, they can't move forward in their walk with Christ because of something that happened 20 years ago or 5 years ago or a year ago. And they just feel like God can't forgive them, can't possibly care about them and love them because of what happened in the past. And the past is just that, it's the past. So I think that this is such an important one for us to start with, looking at Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." I don't know maybe of any more relevant and practical advice for us to start this year with than what we see in this passage. We don't have to have our lives imprisoned by our pasts. All of us, at some point in time, in this last year, in the last decades of our lives, have failed. We've made choices that we look back at now and say, why in the world did I choose to do that? We made choices that we look back at now and we say, as we've grown in our faith, man, I so messed up and disappointed God, I'm sure, in those moments. We've all made those choices, but thank goodness for most of us in here, the failures that are a part of our lives don't end up advertised on the nightly news on TV. Right? But the reality is that those failures can be really painful memories for us in our hearts and in our minds. Maybe for you it's a memory of how you failed within a relationship. Maybe for you it's some wrong decisions that you made. Maybe for you it has to do with your parents and maybe you failed your parents in the last days or weeks or years. Or maybe you're a parent and you know that you failed your children. It's more than likely that many of us know that we have failed ourselves in some way. All of us, every one of us that knows Jesus Christ, should know that we have failed God in some way. What God's Word is saying to us here is simply this: we must not allow ourselves to be boggled down by our past failures. We can't. We have to strive towards what's ahead. We have to look towards the future. We can't get hung up on it. It doesn't mean that we don't acknowledge the past, and hopefully we learn from those past things. But we can't get hung up on it. We shouldn't dwell on our past so much that it stops us from moving forward into the future that God has in store for each one of you. I think that the start of a new year is just a great time for us to rise to this challenge and to say to ourselves that I'm not going to, with the help of God, dwell on the past. I'm going to forget the past. I'm going to stop torturing myself about what I did or I didn't do in my life. I think the new year is a good time to stop being chained to our past failures. God's saying here in this passage that He doesn't want us to go through life branding ourselves as failures. Jesus Christ, He died on a cruel cross so that we could be forgiven. So that we could set aside those failures from our past and look on to the future. When we become followers of Christ, when we give our lives to Christ, that forgiveness becomes a reality in our lives. When we receive Christ's forgiveness, it allows us to forgive ourselves and to forget our failures. So maybe, just maybe, you need to do that this morning. Maybe you need to accept Christ's forgiveness for a failure in your past. And I know that for everybody it's different. Sometimes those pasts are very recent. I've talked to people that hold on to things, that decisions that they made 20 or 25 or 30 years ago, and they just can't seem to let it go. Christ doesn't want you to bear that burden. He wants you to be forgiven of it and to know His forgiveness of it and to push forward to tomorrow. Second commitment that I want us to look at this morning is commit to give up your grudges. Commit to give up your grudges. I want us to look at the book of Colossians. So you're going to go to Colossians chapter 3. It's just going to be a couple pages forward in the Bible from where you're at, page 834. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Says this: bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. The challenge in that verse for us is very simple. The challenge in that verse for us is very in our face. We can't say that we don't understand what the challenge is. God, in those words, is challenging us directly and personally to give up our grudges, our grievances. It's what He means when He says, forgive each other if you have a grievance against someone. A grudge is just this deep, ongoing resentment that we can cultivate in our hearts towards somebody else. A grudge is an unforgiving spirit that leads to unforgiving attitudes and leads to unforgiving actions in our lives. Harboring a grudge is about nursing a dislike that we have for somebody. What we need to remember is that grudges are dangerous because they're so destructive. Grudges will destroy marriages. They will. I've seen it. I've counseled people where it's simply grudges they hold against each other that's tearing apart their marriages. Grudges will break up families. We just went through Christmas and Thanksgiving, and for some of us, sometimes those family gatherings are difficult because we have these grievances, these grudges. And our families aren't all that they could be or should be. Grudges ruin friendships. Grudges split churches. We hear that way too often. We see the results of grudges turning into action, turning into violent action in the news all the time. And if we're being really honest, and we're willing to admit it, I think one of the greatest and biggest problems that is within the North American church is that we hold on to grudges against our brothers and our sisters. We're not exempt from this. If you know that you're holding on to a grudge against somebody, then God is saying to you in this passage, saying, give it up. Let it go. Grudges are more than just destructive to the relationships, to marriages, to families, to friends, to churches. They're also self-destructive. When you hold a grudge, you will slowly destroy yourself. When you hold a grudge against somebody, you will hurt yourself as much or maybe even more than the person that you're holding the grudge against. Here's what I mean. If you keep harboring a grudge in your heart, then it will eventually just destroy you. If not physically, it will certainly emotionally and spiritually. It will make you bitter. It will twist your mind and your perception on other people. It will put you in a place where you cannot see the good of the other person because you're so focused in on the negative, on whatever the grudge is that's in your mind. So all you can see is the bad in that person. God doesn't make junk. God creates as wonderful human beings. Are we flawed? Absolutely. I don't know if you remember the parable in Matthew chapter 18 where the a slave was released from his debt, a large debt that he owed, and then he turned around and would not forgive a small debt to somebody that owed him money. Remember that, Matthew chapter 18? Jesus said at the end of this parable, He said that this servant's unforgiving spirit landed him in prison. It imprisoned him. Not learning to forgive may not land us in physical prison, though it could if it turns into actions. It may not land us in physical prison, but it can certainly put us in an emotional prison where our thoughts and our energies are wasted on the grudge that we hold against somebody. Max Lucado, great author, in one of his books he writes this about grudges. He says, unforgiving servants always end up in prison. Prison of anger, guilt, and depression. God says to you in His Word, don't sentence yourself to prison. In order to give up whatever grievances or grudges that we hold against somebody, we must forgive them. We have to offer that forgiveness. According to God's Word, the way to give up a grudge is to forgive the person. It's just that simple. Notice what God is saying here. He isn't asking us to ignore whatever the person has done to us. He doesn't ask us to do that. He isn't asking us to pretend like a situation didn't happen. He doesn't ask us to condone whatever it is that's between us or to pretend that what happened doesn't really matter. He doesn't ask us to do any of those things. What God asks us to do is to forgive the grievance. That means to acknowledge how wrong and painful what was done to you was, but to decide to forgive the person who did you wrong anyways. I am absolutely certain that there are people here who need to give up their grudges and forgive the grievance that they have against others. Some of us need to forgive the grievance that we have against, maybe it's a parent that did or didn't do something. Some of us need to forgive our children for the same reason. Some of us need to forgive a spouse for what they have put you through. Some of us need to give up the grudge that we hold against somebody at work because of the way that maybe they treated you. Some of us need to give up the grudge that stems from an argument that you had with somebody, a disagreement, saw something differently. Some of us need to give up a grudge that has grown because of a difference in opinion that we have with people. Some of us maybe even need to give up grudges that we have against each other in this congregation, this church family. See, this is the key. God says that the deep-seated resentment that we have against others has to go. You've got to get rid of it. What better time to make that difficult decision to forgive than right now, today? Here's just another thought on this tough subject. Don't tell God that you can't forgive somebody. Because what we're really saying when we say that is that we won't forgive somebody. And if we're going to choose to say that we won't forgive somebody, then we need to own that. We need to own that. And we need to know that when we make that choice, it's not God's will. It's not His plan. If Christ can forgive me, if Christ can forgive you of your sins, despite the fact that it cost Him the pain of the cross, then surely we can give up our grievance that we have with somebody else, even though it might be difficult. So the question is this morning is, will you make the decision to do that? The third commitment that I want us to look at this morning is to commit to restore your relationships. So commit to let go of the grudges, get rid of the grievances, but then take it a step further. Because that's really the first step in this, right? Is to get rid of the grievances. But then God challenges us to make sure that the relationships are actually healthy and good and strong and peaceful. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. I'm going to have you turn there with me as well. Page 804. Romans 12, verse 18 says this: if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. The important phrase in this passage, in my opinion, is as far as it depends on you. As far as it depends on me. The Apostle Paul, by using that phrase, is personally challenging each one of us to do whatever it is that we can do to restore relationships in our lives. Our Lord wants us to do everything that we can to restore relationships that may have gone wrong in our lives. To bring healing to them, to bring peace to them. That's what He's challenging us to do. Some relationships might have gone wrong in our lives because of what the other person had done to us, or what we feel they've done to us. And they might not want in any way to restore the relationship. They might just want to walk away from it and ignore it and or keep that grievance and bitterness and grudge there. I think God recognizes that, and that is why this verse starts off with, if it is possible. If it is possible. Sometimes people have hurt the relationship that we're in, and they've hurt it, and sometimes we have been the ones that have caused the pain. We've done the wrong. When God says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, it's saying if you have caused a rift in a relationship, then you have a responsibility to do everything that you can to restore it. That everything includes the one thing that probably some of us find very difficult to do. That's asking for forgiveness. I'm sure that I'm not the only person in here that finds those three words or those two words, I am sorry, or I'm sorry. Those are hard words to say sometimes. God calls us to use those words. I wonder how many relationships are not all that they should be, or all that they could be, simply because we won't use those three words. Simply because we won't go to somebody and say, look, I messed up. I want you to forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm certain that some of us need to ask forgiveness for harsh words or for cutting remarks that we've made. And we've really wounded others with over the years. Maybe God is saying to some of us, that this change of the year is the right time to restore relationships that are damaged or ruined by going and sincerely saying that we're sorry for the angry words or for the selfish or unthoughtful actions that we've taken. Understand it will be hard to do. It's never easy. But one of the most significant things that you can do to start this year is not to continue the fight, but to admit that your past errors in the relationship may have played a part in putting the grudges and the grievances there. To ask for forgiveness for them. So will you rise to that challenge? To make a commitment to restore any broken relationships that are in your life right now? As far as it depends on you, will you do it? It all really boils down to this morning. Will you this year, at the beginning of this year, be just, for you, will it be just this calendar-changing event? Or will you rise to the occasion of taking on these challenges from God's Word and make the changing of this year a life-changing event in your life? Where years down the road, you'll look back and you'll say, you know what? I made these commitments and I haven't done them perfectly. But it sure was a turning point in my life and how I treat other people and how I love other people and how I do life with other people according to God's Word. Are you willing to make these three commitments? Will you commit yourself to forget your failures, to give up your grudges? Will you commit yourself to restore the hard work of restoration? To restore a relationship. I think this year will be something that you'll look back at and celebrate if you'll honestly put the effort into doing these things. I'm going to end us in a prayer just in a moment. But before I do, I just want to say, if you've been sensing, as we've been looking at God's Word, I've been sharing some thoughts on it. If you've been sensing God or the Holy Spirit has been talking to you this morning, if you even sense that just maybe He's talking to me about this one, just maybe, I'm going to suggest that if you're sensing just maybe, the answer is He is talking to you. That He is saying you need to take care of this. In our humanness, we're able to make it seem a lot less negative or whatever by saying, well, just maybe He is. If you sense the Holy Spirit moving, talking to you this morning, don't walk out of here without making a commitment to work on that area of your life. Have the courage today to forgive yourself and to forget about the past stuff. To forgive others who have hurt you. And forgive whatever grievances you have. To ask for forgiveness from those who have hurt you as far as it depends on you to live at peace with everybody. If you're committing to making one or more of these challenges in your life, I just want to encourage you to pray along with me in spirit this morning as we pray right now. Lord God, forgive me for the times that I have not accepted Your forgiveness and have held on to the past, thus hindering my steps of obedience for the future. Forgive me for not offering forgiveness to others who may have hurt me, and I'm holding on to grievances and grudges. Forgive me for the times that I didn't give it my all to live at peace with other people. But today, Lord God, I'm committing to working at forgiving or forgetting the past, at forgiving grievances, and at living at peace with others. Today is the mark of a new day, and with your help, God, I'm committing to doing that. I think it's good for us, just keep your heads bowed, I think it's good for us to acknowledge when we make these kind of commitments sometimes. So this morning I'm going to ask that if you committed to one of these three things, or all of them, just raise your hand along with me, saying that I'm going to work on these things. Amen. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love for us and your desire for us to live full and rich lives. And we know that when we live our lives according to your word, our lives are being lived to the fullest. So for each one that acknowledged that, yes, they're working on one of these things, Lord God, give us strength in that. Give us courage. Keep it in the forefront of our minds. And don't let us be discouraged if we mess it up once or twice along the way. But allow us to remember that you're a God of second and fifth and 50th chances. Allow us to start over. I pray these things in your name. Amen.